Hello everyone, and welcome to Minute 4 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film, Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Jay Cluett of the Deep Blue Sea Pod. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Hello, thank you. Slowly zooming into your face.
Okay. Well, I want to see the emotions. Yeah, looking for the emotion.
Right. Where are they? Emotions. Light into those eyes.
That's right. There you go. So minute 4 begins with the old man continuing to sob and ends with a date being revealed. So we ended things yesterday with this old man collapsing and starting to sob in front of a grave marker, and his wife, son and daughter-in-law, or daughter and son-in-law. I assume for some reason, I don't know why, I think it's his son, as opposed to, it being his daughter.
I think it looks like that. It'd be very weird for his, like, son-in-law to be taking a picture of him as he's walking up to the cemetery.
Okay.
And, like, the guy, he gets there first. He's, like, following more closely behind than presumably his wife. So, right. Yeah, I think it makes sense that it's his son.
Right. Okay, and we get to see, in the very first second, we see the shot of the grandson just looking on, very curious, wondering what's going on, which, again, goes back to the whole idea of what I was talking about with a few days ago about how the prologue basically is shown through young Jimmy's eyes.
Oh. Yeah, so... Okay. Very, so he's even named after. He's named after his granddad.
Again, in the novelization.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Not much really happens in the, they show that because they're showing it from his perspective, you can see his confusion. He doesn't know if his grandfather had fallen or if he's kneeling or if he's praying or whatever it is.
Yeah. They should have called him Ryan.
Ryan. I don't know if that would have worked.
Yeah. I don't have a middle name, but in the past, people have, like, demanded to know. They've assumed I've had some kind of, like, embarrassing middle name. And so I used to say that my middle name was Ryan, just because in French, Rien means nothing. So having no middle name was like, Rien, Ryan. I've had some very strange people demand to know what middle name is. I don't know. So
demand?
I think it's nice.
So that... you didn't make up like a fake one?
Oh, yeah, I did. I said Ryan. Ryan was my fake middle name. And
because of this movie?
No, just because in French, Ryan means nothing. It means Rien means nothing. And so I was trying to be clever with it. But it doesn't. I do enjoy, like, the whole trying to make Private Ryan as a character mean even less. Just some guy by having his name literally mean nothing.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's intentional, but I've read it as such. I do like that.
Interesting. but I get the, it's actually funny that you mentioned the R-I-E-N-N, because that's mentioned later on when they're going through all the dog tags, where Jackson
thinks,
and he goes, hey, I found a Ryan right here. And they're like, that's Rien, you idiot. So... yeah, very interesting. So he's kneeling there sobbing and being comforted at the same time while he's doing that. And, we hear the first word of dialogue. The son says, Dad.
There we go.
And reaches over to him. that doesn't explain anything. Because I know people who refer to their in-laws by mom and dad also.
I do not know any such lunatics.
I do, but okay. I don't agree with it. I don't refer. I've never referred to my in-laws, by as mom and dad. For me, it was always by their names. But I do know people. I know that my sister-in-law refers to my mother as mom. So there are people who do that. After almost 30 years, I'm going to go stop it. No. I'm going to let them do whatever they want, even though I don't necessarily agree. It doesn't matter.
My in-laws are Mandy and Simon. Always have been.
Okay. But
But my wife will not refer to my parents by name. So
she won't refer to them by their names, or she won't refer to them as mom and dad?
Either.
Mom and dad. Oh, you mean she doesn't refer to them?
Yep.
Those people. Those people who brought you into the world. That's it.
Sure. The one, they are to blame. The ones we should blame. Them.
Okay. She always has a way out if she really feels that there's something to blame. hopefully she doesn't need it, though.
Oh, yes, sure.
Exactly. So, you know, slowly the four kids start getting a little closer, but, you know, they don't get that close. And then we get a few seconds, a nice amount of seconds, just looking at the vast number of grave markers that are here. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, first of all, they start by giving us probably about 10 or 15 seconds of blurred names that you can't see any of the names. But then they give some shots of people that you can see the real names.
Yeah, Martinez, McClure.
And they are real people.
Yes.
Okay, so,
yeah, that makes sense. I'd be surprised if they erected fake graves for this shot.
No, but terrible. I would think from the perspective that they need to get permission from the families, you know, to use this. You know, that's my point.
I see. Did you look into who these people were at all?
Yes, I did. Come on.
Any
did you expect me not?
I figured you would.
Did you expect me not to do that? Come on.
Any connection to the film in any way?
Not that I can tell, but maybe when I give you the information, maybe you'll realize something. I don't know. So Mike Martinez was killed on July 6th, 1944, as is stated here. You know, we see Private 357 Infantry 90th Division, California, July 6, 1944, which is somewhat telling about the whole thing, even though they're showing us people from July. You know, this is a month after the D-Day invasion that Mike Martinez was killed. You know, but I mean, again, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen this movie. When he's looking at Captain Miller's grave, Miller died on June 13th. So, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be next to each other. They would probably be very far away if they were burying them according to, you know, the time of when they died.
Is that how they're buried, or is it? I assumed it was based on like surname alphabetically, because you got Martinez, McClure. Next.
But then you have one right behind it that starts with a B. You have Philip.
That could be a middle name. I don't know.
Maybe Philip Burke. Okay, could be. But I'm also looking at the dates here, because you have July 6th and July 7th right next to each other. You know, yeah, Martinez and McClure. Yeah, I mean,
they're both in the three. They're both private. They're both 357. Yeah, they're both.
Yes, they're both in the same unit, and they died within a day of one another.
Maybe they're buried within units or something.
It could be. I mean, the information I was able to find is, I guess the only thing that is here that we wouldn't already know by looking at this is the fact that he's from San Bernardino, California, as opposed to just California. You know, that's the only added information that says that he was killed in action and he got a Purple Heart, which you get whenever you're wounded anyway. Or killed in action. So, you know, it doesn't sound as if it's something out of the ordinary with that one. And then Ray McClure was in... Okay, well, first of all, Ray McClure was in I Company. Does it say which company he was in? It doesn't state here which company Martinez was in. So I'm actually... That actually makes me curious. You know, were they in the same company or... different companies, you know, the whole thing. He is, what other information do they have here? So he actually has three medals. He got the European African Middle Eastern Campaign Medal, a Purple Heart, and a World War II Victory Medal. Those are the three things that McClure got. I actually, you can even find pictures of them, which is very interesting. It says he's part of, he was part of the Airborne. So maybe it's, I mean, he's not part of Easy Company or anything like that. You know, I'm trying to remember what their regiment number was. Maybe, no, maybe it's 306. Does it sound more like it makes sense? Or you
Yeah,
don't remember?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to find out if there's a, I'm reading up to see if there's an order to what they're buried in somewhere else. I can't find anything.
Right. No, can't seem to find anything here. I mean, he's buried in Plot C, Row 19, Grave 46.
Okay.
Where is Ray McClure? Doesn't say where he is specifically. Okay. So, I mean, there isn't anything as, you know, there isn't anything eye-opening here as to which of them, you know, what the reason is that they're buried next to each other. You know, like you said, maybe it's possible that it goes alphabetically, or it could go according to the day that they were killed.
Yeah, good
Don't know.
point.
We'll have to. Well, if anyone, I know that I have a guest that is coming up in a few weeks that or in a few months that will be able to shed light on that, because he is a historian and knows. I mean, he gives. Once again, he gives tours of the Normandy beach, and so I'll have to try and remember when I have him on. He's going to be on. Whoa, he's in week 27. Paul
Oh,
Wooded,
wow.
yeah, because he wanted to talk about the tank battle at the end of the movie. He said everyone's going to want to talk about the battle on the beach. I'll take the other one. So I was like, okay. So hopefully Paul will be able to give us a little bit of insight. See, I'm trying to remember these questions. So we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be a very long time from now. I think I'm recording with him in 6 months from now. Yeah, it's going to be a while. So I probably will not remember these questions back then, by then. So maybe I'll have to think about maybe sending him an email asking him. Okay. So then we continue on, and you know, we once again get a shot of this old man who's being comforted by his wife, son, and daughter-in-law, and we see the three girls in the back and the top of the boy's head, and they do an amazing. This is an amazing shot. You know, the way that they just start to zoom in on his face, on his expressions, on everything that's you can see. His mind racing, as you talked about the other day. He's saying to himself, how do I explain my life to Miller at this point? You know, will he be pleased?
Yeah.
Will he be happy? You know, did I do the right things? I don't know. You
Yeah.
know, the camera just gets closer and closer. I mean, we get to the point where we can even see like hair on his nose. I mean, that's how close the shot gets, which is amazing. And you
Yeah.
know, it really reveals a lot about him, about the ways. And when they focus on his eyes, the question I have is, do we only think now, based on what we know about movie history, that at this point they theoretically should be morphing the character, or is it, or at the time, do you think we might have thought that also? You know, because morphing wasn't as prevalent back then
Well,
as it is
there's
today.
a morph at the end, isn't there? There's
At the end,
the
there is.
end has a morph.
Yes, at the end, there
So
is. But.
I had always remembered this as being you zoom in on Harrison Young's eyes, and then you zoom out of Tom Hanks's eyes, and that was the shot. It zooms in and it zooms out, and so I remembered it as being a con. I remember being
Correct.
annoyed by this film, like, oh, I remember it's a lie. That zoom in and make it clear that it's Tom Hanks, and then it's not Tom Hanks. And they picked an old guy who just kind of looks a bit like Tom Hanks or Matt Damon, which
That's
they did a
right.
great job. If that was their intention, fantastic
Yes.
job. Well done.
Yes.
To find that in a guy who can also act really well, excellent, just incredible job. But that's not the case. It doesn't. It zooms out of the anti-tank things in the water.
Like, that's right.
So I think it's a Mandela effect. I think this is a very common remembrance of this film, is it's trying to set up that it's Tom Hanks, but no, it's like Jaws' girlfriend in Moonraker doesn't have braces. Many people think that she does. It's a Mandela effect from cinema, because it makes sense that she would, but she doesn't. And in this, it would make sense from the start of the film's perspective. If you zoom in, then it's Tom Hanks, and it'd be annoying at the end. But it's not. It's just everyone misremembering it.
Yes.
Because Tom Hanks is the first character that we see, that we meet.
That's correct. All right. Well, not today. We won't see him today, but not today. But I agree. I think it's done really well from that perspective to make us believe. I know for a fact that when I first saw this movie, I was completely shocked, spoiler alert, that Tom Hanks' character dies in the end, because I said, but they showed him at the beginning. You know, it's like you're arguing with yourself about that when it happens. Or you're saying to yourself, okay, how is he going to survive this?
Yeah.
You know, even though he's been shot and stuff like that. So they do that really well. You know, he's really, he has super healing powers.
He's actually Wolverine. Yeah,
I was thinking that. That was what was going into my mind, right this second, that he's Wolverine. But apparently not.
Tom Hanks as Wolverine just wouldn't have worked.
No,
I think.
I don't think so.
As casting, at no point in his life.
No.
He could have been. He'd been a good Cyclops, I think.
Maybe. Wolverine. Yeah. And they linger a long time on his eyes before they move forward.
Not a good Cyclops. With two eyes.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem. I agree. But what can you do about that? And at this point, the shot changes, and we get to see a whole bunch of metal beams. Do you know the official term for these metal beams?
No, because I called them anti-tank things, which is wrong. They're anti-boat things.
That's correct. That is correct.
But anti-tank things are different.
That's right. They are known as
tanks. Rarely a problem in the water.
Rarely, but sometimes they are. You never know. They could be. You know, they could have amphibious.
These are just like
amphibious tanks.
Yeah, these are just prevent the landing of boats onto the water.
That's right.
But a snappier name than that.
Yes, they are known as Czech hedgehogs.
Oh, I was wrong. Czech hedgehogs. Okay, sure.
But wait a second. Just wait. They are a static anti-tank obstacle made of metal angle beams or I-beams. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's similar in shape to a metal knuckle bones, although on a much larger scale. The hedgehog is very effective in keeping light to medium tanks and vehicles from penetrating a line of defense. It maintains its function even when tipped over by a nearby explosion. Although Czech hedgehogs may provide some scant cover for attacking infantry, infantry forces are generally much less effective against fortified defensive positions than mechanized units. Yeah. The creator of this invention is Major František Kosík.
Okay.
And they were they started using them in 1938. And when Germany took over Czechoslovakia, they decided to use them. They're like, hey, this is a great idea.
Yeah. Look at these things.
That's right. They were using them from 1935 already in Czechoslovakia. But 1938, when Germany invaded the Sudetenland, that's when they took a hold of these things and started using them. But it's interesting that they mention in this description that they're not effective for infantrymen to hide against, which we will get to at some point when we talk about them.
Well, they say they're like a little effective, and I'm sure that when you talk about the people hiding behind them in a few weeks' time, they would agree that they could be more effective to be hit for hiding behind.
That is correct. That's right. Yeah. So, and they have notches on them in order to be able to put barbed wire through them.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, do you think, I don't know the answer to this. Do you think that this is similar to what was used in The Great Escape? Right before the jump. For some reason, it looks very familiar to me.
I think it's similar. It's the same. It's the same kind of principle.
Yeah, that's what I would think too.
Big spiky metal thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it works. And then after we get a shot of this these hedgehogs in the water, these anti-boat things that you like to use,
Sure.
it tells us the date. We are now on June 6th, 1944, with waves crashing in. So we finally know where we are. We've traveled presumably back in time in this old man's mind, back to a place where there are waves crashing in on the Czech hedgehogs. Okay, and that's all we have for this minute. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss about it?
No, there's not a lot to this minute, really, is there? It's just, yeah, he's thinking, and then we're there.
That's right. And it's very informative that it is.
Yeah.
But still. Okay, so every Thursday we have a segment called Say What Thursday, where the idea is it's a little game that I'm going to play with
No, what
my
Thursday?
guest.
Sorry, I missed my cue.
Exactly.
How many guests will do the same thing? I'm looking forward to finding out.
Me too. I didn't even think about that. So that works. The inspiration for the say what comes from Pulp Fiction. Say what again? But we'll have to see how that plays out. So the idea is that this movie is filled with actors that are very familiar, and we know them from many other movies. So what I decided to do was take quotes from certain actors that appear in this movie, and I will give you a quote of theirs, and you have to try and guess who the actor is. And what movie the quote is from. Now,
I like it.
because there are so many actors here, it's something that I can't I wasn't going to take anyone. So I've narrowed it down to three different actors. It could either be Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, or Tom Sizemore. Those are the three actors that I decided to choose to take quotes from.
Is that, are you just going to use those three actors for the whole season? The whole,
Yes, the entire
everyone?
season.
Oh, that's a
Duh,
shame.
duh.
Okay.
No, I gotta make it a little bit easy. I'm not gonna have
Sure,
people try and
yeah.
guess Barry Pepper,
I mean,
quote.
that's what I was hoping for. It's like crawl. He says it in crawl.
Yeah, and no, I unfortunately am not a, I don't do this to be cruel. I do this to be fair and nice.
Okay.
I want it to be fun. It's a fun game. That's the whole thing. My original idea was to just do Tom Hanks, but then I said I need to expand it a little bit. So I said, all right, I'll put in Matt Damon and Tom Sizemore. I mean, Matt Damon has 99 movie credits as of today, and Tom Hanks is 100 as actors. So they're both comparable. And Tom Sizemore just has some great lines in movies, so I decided I'd put him in there. So basically, I will give you the quote, I will tell you the year of the movie, and you have to try and guess which of these three actors it is and what movie the quote is from.
Okay.
Okay, so we will start with a very easy one for you, Jay. From 2006. You are a toy car.
That is from Cars, and it's said by Tom Hanks as the Woody car in the
Very good.
post-credit scene.
That's right. I told you it would be easy, the first one. So, very good. Okay, the next one from 2013. That's what we storytellers do. We restore order with imagination. We instill hope again and again.
My guess is Hanks again?
Okay, you are correct. That is Tom Hanks.
Because it doesn't sound like that's. I can't imagine Tom Sizemore playing a storyteller, and it didn't sound like anything Matt Damon did around the time. I'm trying to think what Tom Hanks did in 2013. Because it's
Okay,
three
I mean,
years after Toy Story 3.
I can give you, the director. I can give you other actors in the movie.
I'm just trying to think first. Just
No, I'm just letting you know that there are lifelines.
Storytellers. Can you read me the quote one more time, please?
Yes. The quote is, "That's what we storytellers do. We restore order with imagination. We instill hope again and again and again." From 2013.
Yeah, I feel like it's one I haven't seen. So
that's not an excuse.
I know. I'm just trying to reason why I haven't immediately got it. And this isn't the game, but is the director Robert Zemeckis?
No.
No. Okay. Who? Can you give me a hint, please?
The director is John Lee Hancock.
Can you give me a useful hint, please?
Okay. Another actor in the movie is Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell? Tom Hanks? What?
They do not have any scenes together.
Oh, Saving Mr. Banks. God damn it.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Yeah, so have you seen it or
really
not?
Like that. Yeah, I really like that film.
Okay. See, I've given you a reason to go rewatch it.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. From 1995. Well, you know me. Well, you know, for me, the action is the juice.
That, of course, is Tom Hanks in Toy Story. No, that is Tom Sizemore in Heat.
Yes, playing Michael Ciarretti. Ciarretto.
Do you know the connection between Heat and Deep Blue Sea?
I think you've mentioned it, but I'm trying to remember. I can't remember offhand.
The bank that is heisted in the middle of Heat is the same building that Ronnie Cox's office is in at the start of Deep Blue Sea.
Ah,
so when okay. Saffron Burrows lands a helicopter at the start, she's landing on that building that is robbed in Heat.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I
a
did
famous
not remember
building. It's used in a bunch of. It's also the building from Barbed Wire and a bunch of other films.
Okay. All right, you ready for the next one?
Sure.
From 2006. Just kill me. Just kill me.
Ooh. 2006. Is that Matt Damon in The Departed? Was that 2006?
Yes, it is.
Wait.
Yes, it is.
Wasn't sure of the year. Okay.
Playing Colin Sullivan. Yes.
You ought to give yourself quotes that you then have to censor.
I could, but this was a great one. So
just giving yourself extra work to do.
I'm giving myself extra work, but it's a great quote, and I figured I would use it. So, oh, why not?
Sure.
Okay, and the final one from 1997. The quote is, "Does this violate the doctor-patient relationship?"
97. Is that Damon in Good Will Hunting?
Yes, it is. Very good. You see? Excellent. Hey. Nicely done, Jay. Nicely Excellent. Done.
I'm a Matt Damon fan. A Tom Hanks fan.
Apparently so.
And I like Heat. I like Sizemore. Was one of those, like, I haven't seen many Sizemore films. This could get tricky. But... No quotes Got from it. USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, please.
Probably not. All right. So, Jay, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Jay Clewitt?
Sure, it's not a coincidence why I knew that Heat and Deep Blue Sea are in the same film, because I host Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, going to Deep Blue Sea, Scene by Scene. Everywhere podcasts can be found.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Bring this. My solitude.